Welcome to Tilth Talk Radio. Today we're looking at some lubrications for your seed box and what they have in store besides just being a lubricant. In Spotlight, we'll take a look at a new weather term for 2023-24. Ag History Minute, we'll talk about Wisconsin's number ones. Cool Beans, That's Corny. We'll have some current events. We'll wrap things up with a Field Good Friday. With me today is Todd Schomburg.
Hey to all the Tilthies out there.
And I'm Matt Brueger, all with Tilth Agronomy. When it's just the two of us, I feel like I don't need to say all, because it's just two.
It's just two people.
Like, all implies larger, which normally it is a slightly larger group. But Bill is out again this week, so
it's me and you, dynamic duo
again.
Did you come up with any other better, besides Batman and Robin, Hook and Smee?
I did not. I think we listed all the good ones that I could think of last week. Beyond that, you don't want to get into the weeds too deep on.
Yes, you could get very deep.
I'm sure there are a lot.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a Wikipedia page totally dedicated to that. But yeah, no, it's been a unseasonably warm week for the most part. We just can't seem to get out of this like 40s and 50s for the quote unquote winter that we're experiencing.
It's very not wintry, that's for sure.
No. I was grabbing soil temps again yesterday and midday in the 40s, like, so there's warm soils.
Have you seen like high 40s or
Mid, okay. Mostly mid. Some few spots it's been high and even low 50s, but that's fairly isolated. It's just been a different year. Even we were talking the other day with road limits. Like,
true.
Where have you seen road limits?
Right.
Some of the northern counties. I heard Shawnee County had them on, and they may even be off by now because there really was no frost to come out of the ground.
That road limits have been on, and I think townships are trying to decide what to do with that, because some won't even put them on, some just kind of threw them on, it seemed, to just...
Right, like, I guess we should do this. Like, right. Yeah, I don't know. Just a unique winter experience we had. Seems like we've had short winter, like a medium spring, then we had the really quick winter again last week, Wednesday, Thursday. And now we're back into, so it's the second spring, third spring. Like,
true. We're not even to, like, that's the odd part with this is we could have a long way to go yet, but right. It could be a very short way to go too. Like, we could have the rest of March be okay and April be good and then kind of come and get more rain, but it's hard to tell what's in store for us. That's always what's tricky in spring in Wisconsin.
This week, I think, was the first, like, significant rainfall of the year so far. I think we hit...
Yeah, we actually had like a thunderstorm, which right. Was crazy in early March.
Yeah, I did not see lightning, but I did hear thunder. So, yeah, it's not what you expect for March weather. Usually in like a lion, not so much this year. In like the lamb, so...
Yeah, the 11th season of Wisconsin's, we got winter, fool spring, second winter, spring of deception, third winter, mud season... Actual spring, summer. So we might be in the spring of deception yet, where we're going to get that one more third winter, then mud season. Because we're for mud season, we're kind of maybe into mud season, but at the same time, this isn't normal spring mud season.
No, we've had fairly isolated, muddy areas. Like, yes. It's not... When you see guys driving pickup trucks out into fields to like do right. work on wood lines, it's not, no, you're it's not in mud season. No.
Maybe we'll skip mud season this year, which would be wild.
For the sake of the need for moisture, I hope not. Like,
right.
Like, not that we want muddy conditions and that kind of stuff, but we need the moisture at this point. So I would hope to see a mud season just for that fact.
Yes, good point. But that we're still in the drought, the mud season part could be very helpful.
Yeah, drought monitor, I think our area was in the D0 to D1, something like that. Somebody had posted a drought monitor the other day.
Which for this time of year is pretty wild to be
right
going into the drought.
And it's usually, I think, Thursdays are the day they release them. So, yeah, well, there's a new one as of today. So, for Wisconsin, yes, we are in a D0, abnormally dry. To the north of us, most of the north area, except for kind of a corridor there through Marinette, O'Connell County, they're in D1, so a moderate drought. And then down towards the Iowa border, they get into the D2, and the far north is in a D2, so... Once you get south of Lake Winnebago, so Fond du Lac County is kind of half in that D0, then they're quote unquote normal, I guess. They're none in a section of southeast Wisconsin, but yeah, majority of the state is in some form of drought at this point.
It's wild to look at Iowa, that all the states in drought, and they've got D3 drought, which is crazy. You go up into Minnesota as well, kind of the whole state, but you get over into Eastern Illinois and kind of Northern Indiana, and really those states are less drought affected.
Well, Northern Indiana, I can attest, as I was there in January,
it was raining when you were
like
there.
Rain, snow,
sure,
like on and off a fair amount down in that area. So not entirely surprised by that. But then you get into Southern Indiana and a good chunk of that is in that abnormally dry. So yeah, I mean, we need moisture of some kind. At this point, I will take anything that we can get. So hopefully we get something. All right. Ready to get into our topic for today?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. So when you open up the planter box, are you just putting in seed or are you adding some sort of quote unquote corn cocaine?
I don't. You've heard it before, right?
I have.
Yes. I was trying to.
Do not snort it, though. It's probably not good for you.
I don't know that the corn really snorts it, but it's definitely right up next to it in that planter box. But yes, corn cocaine has been the term we've heard for kind of the powders, the talc, the graphite that goes in with corn. Today, we're kind of talking about this sort of newer, more unique opportunity that we're seeing being expanded in from ag retailers and people that sell crop inputs, that there's more that are including a microbial, a biostimulant, and crop nutrition.
So not just seed treatments or in furrow anymore. Now you can put it right in the seed box.
Right. So this is kind of to expand on our, we kind of had our in furrow, out furrow. We talked about sort of all the microbials that we could use in that placement. Now there's also another spot where you can put it in these, like a dry formulation that's basically kind of used with your talc or graphite, usually has some sort of lubricant in there to kind of help the seed flow. And we're not going to focus on the lubricant. We're going to focus on what other opportunities you might have there.
What add-ons you can put with the seed lubricant?
There's many, many, many that claimed just sort of a improved nutrient uptake, enhanced early season growth. There's a lot that claim tolerance to drought, extreme temperatures, kind of this real broad one. So we're not going to go into those that, If your retailer has one of those, if that's what you're looking for, those are great. But we don't know exactly what the mode of action are on some of those, and we don't know how they're getting that. So those are kind of another unique class of just, this is not meant to be a comprehensive list. This is just sort of some that are out there, some that have a very unique, you know, different thing in it or a different mode of action that's more unique.
Yeah, it just feels like we're trying to find as many different ways of applying some of these products as we possibly can.
Right.
Like, what if we put it, like, pretty soon I'm looking for the, yeah, we're just going to grow it in the seed now. Like,
right. That could be
with CRISPR. If there's a way to do it, they'll find it.
That is true, that it'll just literally be in the seed. Yeah, you're right, man. Yeah.
But we don't have that yet. So put it in the box, put it in the furrow, put it right on the seed somehow. Seems to be the way we're going.
So the first one here is AgriZine Graphex. And basically this one is for soybeans, and it has the talc graphite carrier, and it has the Brady Rhizobia for soybeans. So it's basically kind of to help. And there's a bunch of other ones of these too that basically are the soybean inoculant one.
Sure.
And to be honest, that one might be one of the coolest, easiest ones. If we can make that inoculant easier to get on,
yeah,
we know that that inoculant's from the research that Cool Beans has and Sean Conley has, that that's your best biological is literally your soybean inoculant.
Is that a new that's AI? You said Cool Bean and Sean Connolly, like they were two different
guys. True. They are the same.
He got an AI Cool Bean be... now? Like, is it UW developed an agronomic AI called Cool Bean?
That would be great, actually. Ask the Cool Bean.
Patent pending.
Yes.
I know Sean's already got the patent on Cool Bean, but
the
making
AI
it an AI, AI, that's we'll split it, Sean. Okay.
So there's a really good, easy kind of start to using some of these. The next one we'll talk about is AMVAC BioWake, which is a biological, and basically it's supposed to help.
Wait. I feel like it's in the name, so it's a biological, and it's supposed to help the corn get a jump, like BioWake.
Sure, but the wake part, because I think it comes from BioWake Prime, which is a bioinsecticide for corn rootworm.
Is that Optimus Prime's brother?
Yes.
Okay.
BioWake
Prime.
BioWake Prime. I like that. Optimus Prime.
The lesser transformer.
In BioWake Prime. It'd be, there you go. You can make a corn seed that kind of
just transforms
the transform part into the Mr. BioWake Prime. So that one's unique, though, that it has this bioinsecticide for corn rootworm, which could be, we talked about corn rootworm last week.
Yep. And
could be something that, I don't know the efficacy of it, but even if you had sort of the a very high pressure, that'd be another spot to throw in along with your traits.
Another opportunity to hopefully mitigate those corn rootworm.
The next one is Brandt Ends Up Seed Flow Zinc, or ZN. So this one has two enzymes to help vigor and kind of the seed flow. One delivers zinc right to the seed, and then there's a seed fluency to improve singulation. So a lot of them do talk about that as well, of obviously these are talc and graphite, so they're made to kind of improve the flow. And then this one also has
releases sugar.
Right. And that's why this one's on the list. It has a mannase enzyme that releases sugar from the polysaccharide chains and lipase enzymes break down lipids in the soil. So I think it's releasing somehow lipid sugar from the soil.
So this is the redneck one because it's mayonnaise, a lot of enzymes in this.
Mayonnaise. I like that. I like that.
Mayonnaise. Jeff Foxworthy must have right. Been a consultant on that one.
I have not heard of that enzyme, but
I have not either.
It's not spelled quite like mayonnaise, but it does look like it.
I think it's, mayonnaise.
Right. There's like, an N in there that I missed.
It's kind of like banana. Seems like there's one too many N's in there.
It's so kind of a new, unique one. The next one is Conklin Amplified D, which uses AMP or adenosine monophosphate, and which is kind of utilized to help with that phosphate in there.
So it's like your starter almost.
Right. I think it's trying to get you a little bit of that, phosphorus to the plant where it needs it, and that's a good way to call it like a little bit of a starter that way.
So it's supposed to help overcome stressful planting conditions such as cold, wet soils and low vigor. So if you have that might be a good one for, if you're planting a variety that you like on your farm, but seedling vigor is not exactly its highest trait, to kind of help with that. Maybe change how you can position certain corns on your farm, potentially with what they're saying this can do.
What's interesting about that, too, is why I thought this was, have you ever heard of ATP, like the energy part in our cells?
Yep.
The adenosine triphosphate. So they are related to the adenosine monophosphate. They're a group of the same molecule, but the AMP, so the mono has only basically one, and the ATP has three. So it's they're different, but I do think that's what they're trying to get at a little bit too, is that obviously, if you could get to the tri, it'd probably be better, but I'm sure the mono maybe is still good. So just an interesting, back to like biology 101 when you talked about ATP and the energy transfer in a cell.
And it may have to do with how they can get it into this particular product that they the mono works better than the tri for some reason. I don't know.
Right. The next one is Meristem Crop Performance Revline Hopper Throttle Corn.
All right, say that three times fast.
And usually, I've never heard it with all the whole first part. Usually it's just called Hopper Throttle on this one that I've heard used. And this one's kind of supposed to get zinc is part of it.
Yes, and then the ion lock zinc.
So it's a kind of a different kind of a zinc. And then basically it's throwing in a whole bunch of other microbials, like a whole bunch to see, because maybe on some years some will work, some won't. That approach to this is, I would say, call it good and bad, sort of the shotgun approach. Like, well, we don't know which one of these biologicals you need, so here's a little bit of all of them.
Yeah, the kitchen sink biological approach.
Right. And the more we're getting into biologicals, I think the more we'll sort of go away from the kitchen sink and hopefully know which ones we need or which ones are better and which ones help the most. But this one has a unique part that way where it's just, it's the shotgun approach to
this one too. Treatment. Looks like it's, again, targeted towards better emergence. So provide early emergence nutrition so that you're hopefully increasing the vigor of those seedlings as they come out of the ground.
Right. The next one is the one that I remember hearing about like 10 years ago. I was sitting in a, like basically in with a farmer in their office, and all of a sudden this guy came in with his bucket of egg dust. So Newfields egg dust. So he came in with his bucket of dust and was like, oh, this is the best thing ever. And this is one of the ones that I first remember as being, you know, different than the old school graphite talc.
Sure.
So obviously there's probably other ones out there ahead of this, but this dust idea was a microbe carrier, which is microplastic free. So I'm not sure how many of the other ones have microplastics, but this one does not. And it contains kind of an amino acid to provide an early food source to microbes on the seed. So it was kind of this idea of like feeding the sugars and that kind of thing, and having amino acids there.
And it seems like this one, so again, mentions improving plant stand, but also spacing. So it's supposed to be a superior lubricant to get your flow better, help with singulation, and hopefully get your spacing more in line, which I guess we talk about that way more with just the planter itself than we do adding this type of product, but it has the potential, I guess, to help improve that.
This is a good point. Our planters have gotten so good that I don't even know if we care about that anymore. However, there's probably certain timings, certain seed sizes where it would be helpful to have the right amount of it. And most guys are still using a little bit of talc or lubricant to get that singulation. So the next one is also one that goes way back that I probably heard about the same time as egg dust, is called Saberex for corn PB, which is a new sort of planter box treatment formulation of it that is added just before planting at the planter box. So it's kind of the same where it's got talc graphite, but it has trichoderma in with it, which is kind of that Saberex thing. But there is some that are just the Saberex. Now this one adds the talc graphite with it. So kind of has that, helps, like we said, with all the flow, but it has the trichoderma to kind of help be an inoculant for your seed in your soil.
It says it does not replace your talc or graphite you've been using, but complements it. So it's
interesting. Okay.
So it's not meant to be used solely by itself. You're still supposed to use other, because I was looking at the rate, and I'm like, 0.5 ounces, like that is not a lot. And if you're trying to get
sure, and that's
lubrication
per unit.
Right, so, for every 80,000 kernels.
Yeah, per bag, basically.
So, yeah, it seemed like not a lot, and that makes sense then if they're looking for you to still put in additional graphite or talc.
Yeah, and then the last one we'll talk about is Talc USA Micro Surge with Micronutrient Talc. So, basically, this one has kind of the obviously the micronutrient part to it, but it includes a freeze-thaw technology guaranteeing effectiveness in a multi-year shelf life, which I thought was an interesting, because especially that freeze-thaw technology, that usually once something freeze, you're basically effed. So that one's an interesting one, is having ones with multiple year shelf life. That tells you that maybe you could even, if you are planting really early, maybe to do better in your soil because it can handle the cold conditions better. But it has corn inoculants, azoprillium lifrum, and azoprillium brasilinase, which you'd probably pronounce those way different than what I just said. But
yeah, azoprillium. But which are nitrogen capturing.
Right. So we talked about our nitrogen capturing, you know, liquid, Invita, Pivot Bio, and Corteva's product.
Utrisha,
thank you.
Yep.
And these are sort of a different, that we're going to see also coming in now are in the cocaine form also. So this is one of those that is that way. So they also have a soybean inoculant that helps end fixation and root development. So kind of that same sort of nitrogen idea on there. So yeah, these are kind of not a comprehensive list. This wasn't meant to be. What I would say is results may vary, and that you should really, really look at what you need on your farm. Do you think do your tissue tests show you're lacking in zinc? Do you have a corn rootworm problem? Maybe you got to use the prime one that has corn root, BioWake Prime. Do you have, looking at your specific soil, what you need, what's your goals? Are you looking to gain nitrogen? Then go a different way like that. So what I do think with these powders that is important is that you use it on a case-by-case, maybe even on a field-by-field situation, and then you can trial them. It's not maybe as easy, but maybe if you got just regular boxes, maybe you don't. Maybe there's two of your N rows that you don't put any on, and you just use regular old Galk and Taphite.
Galk and Taphite, yes. Absolutely. Taphite, old, I believe, is derived from taffy, right?
Yes.
When you boil it down.
And, yeah. I don't know where Galk is from. Galk and Taphite. So to compare them, and then if you got sort of your bulk seed, that's a little trickier, but sometimes you still have two boxes on that maybe one box you treat and one you don't, to sort of see when you have bulk fill, I guess I'm saying, Matt, a planter.
Right. No, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
So on bulk fill, there's times over your planter split with the bulk fill, or you can do some things with that you could compare them then as well.
Right.
So that'd be the tricky part with these, again, is that they're harder to compare. They're harder to really know when and why. And what I've even noticed is the research out there on these, because they're usually a product that's priced pretty reasonably, they're priced to kind of just be an add-on piggyback. So the research isn't as comprehensive where they're comparing all these in one plot or even many of them in one plot. It's kind of a really, really tough one where you're just hoping to gain maybe that little one or two bushel. Well, if it's only one or two bushel, it's a hard thing to kind of go to the end. So
yeah,
this is a tricky one that way too. Where
I think it's definitely something more targeted towards if you're having issues with emergence and vigor.
Yes,
that's the avenue of like, what could it hurt? Let's try some. Versus if you're not having problems, you're probably not going to see a huge benefit by just adding these products to your.
You hit it on the head, Matt, of that I really think these are case-by-case, field-by-field, maybe early planting, you use them, and then as the soils warm up, you change or do something different. But they are a very unique kind of on their own newer sort of thing that we're even trying to figure out how to use them and where to use them and why to use them.
The benefit of a seed treatment is it's on the seed, whereas these, if you're putting them in the box, it's hard to really guarantee even distribution and like,
very hard to guarantee that.
Right. So you're gonna you might have one seed that comes out just absolutely coated in it that's at the bottom when you start, and then the last ones aren't hardly getting any, if at all.
And we know that the way we put these in is a different. I mean, you hope they mix around some, but it's not always the case.
Right.
You're right. So it's kind of a different part, different way to look at it. You're right.
All right, so there you go. There's a look at some different seed lubricants and the additives they have with them. Now let's move into our spotlight for today. So you've heard of a tornado, you've heard of a derecho, but have you heard of a gustnado?
No, I have not.
No, it's not a sci-fi channel movie involving gusts or guys named Gust in a tornado. We actually had one here in the state of Wisconsin. So National Weather Service in Milwaukee confirmed that Monday's storms brought a gustnado to Darien, Wisconsin. The National Weather Service in Milwaukee says that it is classified as damaging wind. Gustnados are different from tornadoes because they do not have any cloud-based rotation, but they do form from thunderstorms and last only for a few seconds to a minute. They also said there were no reports of damage from Monday storms, and the storm survey efforts also did not find anything. So seems like a lot, much ado about nothing, but it is interesting. We always like to hear these new terms as they come out. I did see in the comments on this story someone compared it to straight line winds, like they used to just call
sure,
this
straight line winds. Sure.
But I think you can get straight line winds without this, thunderstorms
too. And this seemed to have like a vortex to it, like a spin.
Right. There's a rotation factor. Right. Yep. So yeah, it's interesting to note that that is a thing. And obviously could happen again, but yeah. So it seems like we're classifying these things. Yeah.
Where do these weather terms come from? Like how?
I don't know who comes up with.
Never heard of this. Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about that. Like, who gets to name these things? When I search gustnado, it does have its own Wikipedia page.
Yeah, the wiki calls it a gust front tornado. And then they kind of smash those together to a gustnado.
Yep.
And it does say it's similar to straight line winds.
Yep.
And the other, there is
spin
other.
Spin up tornadoes
yes,
also.
Spin up tornado is another name. So yep. Interesting to.
See also dust devil, the Fujita scale, land spout, water spout. So
this to me seems like I've seen dust devils and heard that. And those always seem like a smaller scale than what this gustnado would be. Like dust devils, you just
they're kind of neat to see.
They're awesome to watch.
I actually got stuck in one once, like soil sampling.
Yeah,
it was kind of like more annoying than anything because it was very sandy soil, and so it was like getting the grit in your face,
yeah,
and your mouth, and you're like, I don't knock it off. But yeah, then was able to literally just drive out of it with a four-wheeler.
Right.
So it's not like I had to worry about it lifting me off the ground or anything.
Those are wild when they, like, I've already seen one this spring.
The dust devil?
Yeah. And I was like, ooh, that's not good to already see one this spring. Actually, the kids were outside playing, and it went, like, through one of the kids, and they kind of freaked out. They're like, what the, you know, like, right, because all of a sudden
it wasn't windy,
and then it just, they're like, what's going on? Even I had one last spring. It was right, like, remember when it was getting dry, but we're like, it's not the drought yet. Yep. So it would have been like June. It was June. It wasn't spring. But I was parked on the side of the road, and it was like one of the biggest ones I've ever seen come across a field. And it almost was like early in the morning, and just the way it was, it was like surreal look to it. And there was a guy ahead of me. He pulled over to watch it too and got out of his truck. And all of a sudden it went like literally through where he was standing. And it was like kind of a hippie dude.
Yeah.
And he was like cheering. He was like, yeah. And he like,
wind,
it was like,
the wind touched me.
Him and I randomly out in the country having a very unique experience. And I didn't know. And then,
hug it out after?
It was like, just, it was like basically after it happened, he got in, drove away, and I started walking the field. And that was, that was our dust devil experience. So I don't know if he was not a devil type of sort, but. It was very interesting.
The next thing you have to hope for is like the double rainbow guy, like a double dust devil.
It would have been like the double rainbow guy, yes. That would have been that guy, but experiencing a dust devil.
Two dust devils. What does it mean?
All the way across.
So yeah, there you go. So next time you get in a thunderstorm and you don't have a tornado, you might see a gustnado. Now we'll move into our Ag History Minute. So the state of Wisconsin holds a number of number one titles as nation's top producer. So last year during 2023, we held the title of top producer of green beans. But what else do we produce at a high level that we are number one in? Well, cheese for total production, including American, cheddar, and Italian cheeses. Corn silage, dairy state, not a big surprise there. Cranberries, a fun fact that I think most of us know, but may forget about it from time to time, that there is a large number of cranberry production. Excuse me, dry whey. Milking goats, which that one, I guess, again, with the dairy state goes along, but we don't normally think of the milking goats as part of the dairy.
We don't hear milking goat state. That's very interesting to me that we're leading the way in. And it doesn't say like goat cheese or goat any, you know. Like,
right. It doesn't say we're number one goat cheese. It's just we have a lot of goats.
Yes.
Yeah. Mink pelts. So, which is surprising that we're still number one last year because I feel like mink farms have been getting less.
I'm sure there's just less everywhere. So, yeah. And we're still have the most.
Apparently, yeah. We're still number one. And again, snap beans, large production there. We see that throughout the state. I mean, that's one thing that's grown from the far north to the southern part of the state. There's snap bean production kind of all throughout. So it's kind of cool to be number one, and we have a lot of things. I'm surprised they didn't bring up ginseng because we're like,
oh yeah, we're
number one in the world for ginseng production in Wausau, Wisconsin. So
we'll add that to the list.
Yeah, I'm sure there's other things, but this may not be a completely comprehensive list.
This was,
list,
I believe, like some sort of survey through DadCap list. So, yes, maybe ginseng was not on that.
But, yeah, so we're number one. We're number one.
Yeah, look up your own states. It's kind of fun to know what your state, even what you're not number one. Like, Wisconsin's number three in sweet corn production, which that's still pretty cool and pretty good. Yeah, so, yeah, look. You got to look up your own state's number one. There's got to be something you can hang your hat on.
Are we the number one in sweet corn silage? Do other states harvest their...
Probably not. So, yes, in silage and sweet corn silage. So, good. Thank you, Matt. And thank you to our listeners out there. Please subscribe to the podcast and tell a farmer friend. It's real easy. All you got to do is search Tilth Talk Radio in Apple Podcasts. Or on your Android phone, you need a different app like Podcast Addict or YouTube Music. And you can also listen on your computer or smartphone browser. Go to tilthag.com/podcasts. We're also available on Amazon Music, and you can follow us on Facebook and X at Tilth Talk Radio.
Thanks, Todd. Now we'll move into our Cool Beans. That's Courtney with our current event. So, Cool Beans.
Cool Beans.
Cool Beans.
Do I want to check?
We weren't going back.
No, I wasn't sure what you wanted to do.
See, I was ready. Right. I was ready this time. Then for the back and forth.
I threw the Cool Beans.
Cool Beans. All right, our Cool Beans this week. We have six finalists once again for the 77th Alice in Dairyland title. That will be the winner will be chosen in May. So six Wisconsin women will compete for this title. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, otherwise known as DATCAP, announced the candidates on March 1st. They are Sierra Essick, Haley Heinzel, Katrina Hosley, Michaela King, Kylie Pagel, and Lauren Seemers. In the run-up to the May 4th final at Stone Harbor Resort in Door County, contestants will participate in a rigorous interview process that will allow them to showcase the communications and public relations skills required to be the state's official agricultural ambassador. Top candidates will receive media and speaking training, earning them a DATCAP marketing and communications certificate after the process. Three-day finals will run from May 2nd to the 4th, which include agribusiness tours, media interviews, impromptu question and answer sessions, candidate presentations, and more. The newly chosen Alice will begin her term on July 8th, 2024. Our That's Corny this week. The Texas Panhandle ranchers are facing losses and the task of removing dead cattle that were killed by wildfires. So in case you missed it, there's been a rather significant area of wildfire burn going on in Texas. Flames coming across the vistas of the Texas Panhandle, burning through the grassy plains and scrubland of the region's cattle ranches. Searching miles of scorched earth to dispose of burned corpses of cattle has been the job for the ranchers lately. Others too badly burned and injured in this week's historic wildfires to survive will be euthanized. So it's an unfortunate job to have, searching through the aftermath of these burns. They've so far burned 1,950 square miles. It briefly shut down a nuclear power plant, charred hundreds of homes and other structures, and left two people dead. So for many in the path, it could be a severe impact, while the effect on consumer beef prices is likely to be minimal.
It's so hard you don't think of that as a cleanup of all the dead cattle. And yeah, of how right now, too, where cattle prices is really good, you don't want to lose any of those cattle.
Right, there's a lot of value
not
there.
A good, right, not good. And cleanup efforts like that have got to just, yeah, be tough. And now you...
Yeah, we've talked about it after hurricanes and other things. And yeah, it's an unfortunate job of having to go out and find these. And cattle disposal is difficult enough to do sometimes that on a large scale like this, I got to imagine it's bringing in other resources and added expense then because of the sheer number of carcasses you're dealing with. So yeah, it's unfortunate, and hopefully they'll be able to get things a little bit better under control and minimize casualties from here on out, but you never know. All right, and our Feel Good Friday then this week, the Lincoln County 4-H Club Posobiec Pathfinders wins Cedar Crest's ice cream flavor contest with their Paul Bunyan, which is a vanilla bean ice cream, double-dipped pretzel logs, maple syrup swirl with Butterfinger sawdust. Sounds pretty good to me.
That's awesome.
So they are one of the smallest 4-H clubs in Wisconsin. They came up with the flavor for this year's contest. Their grand prize winning entry, Paul Bunyan, was brainstormed by the 4-H Club of Lincoln County. And according to their leader, Ann Jarowski, the club's 10 members wanted to pay tribute to the Northwoods and the legendary Lumberjack. So they're near the Merrill area. A number of kids living on farms steered their entry toward the Northwoods. Embellishing the ice cream with homemade syrups and sweet and salty elements is a favorite pastime for Jarowski, the club leader, and her high school-aged daughter, Ava. The duo approached club members with a list of ideas to their ice cream brainstorming session. So,
to a kid, that would be just great.
It had to be a rough meeting, you know, tasting ice cream, putting different things in.
I was going to say, you wonder if they literally did bring it together, because yeah, you'd hope that would be...
I know last year's winter, that's what they had done. They had
ice cream bar. Ooh, that's a good move.
Yeah.
June Dairy Month.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, remember some of the last year winners, too. It was...
Last year was Cowlick.
Cowlick, yeah. And Haystack, I remember we talked about.
Yep, Superior Shores is before that. Big Muddy, Utter Delight, and Jumping Jersey Cow. It's almost like there's a kind of a theme going there for a lot of them. But yeah, it takes a lot of skill and creativity to come up with it. So congratulations to the Posobiec Pathfinders on their winning flavor. It'll be available starting in July of 2024. Well, that'll do it for this week. Thanks for being here, Todd.
Thanks for having us, Matt.
So this week we talked about seed lubricant and different ways you can spice it up for hopefully better results in your spring plantings. In our spotlight, we took a look at the Gustnado, a new weather term for us, but something that we've seen before from other storms. Ag History Minute, we talked about the number one titles Wisconsin holds as nation's top producer from last year. Cool beans this week. Six candidates face a challenge ahead to become the next Alice in Dairyland. That's corny, as Texas ranchers picking up the burned and charred remains of cattle as wildfires continue to roam through Texas. And our Feel Good Friday is the Posobiec Pathfinders and their winning flavor, Paul Bunyan. So thanks for listening, and as always, happy farming.